Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my dear friends. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
We began our Easter services Wednesday night with a message titled, The Answer of the Cross. Awesome message. This Sunday, we'll continue with The Danger of Missing the Cross, Sunday a.m., The Centrality of the Cross, Sunday p.m., and then Wednesday night, my famous Sermon on the Cross. Then on Sunday, we'll do a not-so-traditional resurrection service that will inspire and inform you. And finally, Sunday night, we'll wrap it up with a message on the significance of the cross to American politics and evangelism. So that's the Easter lineup. And by the way, don't get all hung up on the word Easter, okay? It does not come from Ishtar. It has its roots in a German word that means resurrection. Ostar. It was selected for translation of the word Pascha, the Greek word Pascha, in Acts chapter 12 in our King James Bible in order to distinguish the Christian celebration from the Jewish celebration of Passover. The fact is, after Passover meal, Jesus instituted what Paul referred to as the Lord's Supper. The Passover meal, by the way, is not the Lord's Supper. If you pay attention, you'll notice that according to Luke, Jesus introduced the communion service after supper when he held up the After Supper Cup. He declared that, however, the hand of the betrayer was still with him at the table. And then from the Gospel of John, we learn that Jesus revealed or exposed the betrayer by the signal of handing to him the sop. And we learn from John that immediately after receiving the sop, Judas split and went to betray the Lord. And it was after Judas left the room that Jesus went ahead and served the elements of the communion, again identified by Paul as the Lord's Supper. How about that? Now, these are a few of the things you'll learn at Lighthouse. You learn that the word Easter is an English term rooted in the German word for resurrection, which is the reason Christians have used it to identify the commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ all these many years. And you learn that the reason Tyndale used that word to translate Pascha in Acts 12 was in order to differentiate it from the Jewish celebration of Passover at that time, when Christians were no longer observing Passover, but rather now observing what Paul called the Lord's table. The truth is, it would be close to blasphemy for Christians to observe Passover, since it would effectively deny that Jesus is the Christ who has come into the world and fulfilled what that supper represented, has died, was buried, and rose again. And it would be a denial, if you will, of the doctrine of Christ. But I'll save all of that for a Bible study time this coming Sunday, a.m., 9:30. Be there, okay. What have we in the inbox today? Hillary is the presumptive Dem nomination for president in 2016, right? She comes into the race with more baggage than the accumulated total of all luggage moved by LAX in a month, including what was stolen by the luggage handler heisters. Here's another bag that she has checked in on her flight to the presidential race. According to a recent Inspector General's report, the United States State Department lost $6 billion. Oh yeah, you heard me right. $6 billion, that's with a B, was lost during Hillary's tenure as Secretary of State. Now, this has triggered what they call a management alert. And I understand this is only the second time in histoire, in the history of the State Department, that has ever happened. When the Inspector General got into this and started looking into the missing $6 billion, his initial report says things like, or includes statements like, you know, Hillary Clinton's State Department, quote, creates significant financial risk and demonstrates a lack of internal control over the department's contract actions, end quote. And then this, quote, creates conditions conducive to fraud, as corrupt individuals may attempt to conceal evidence of illicit behavior by omitting key documents from the contract file, end quote. You know, it's really not very funny. Yeah, there you go. But when it comes to the Clintons, you know, whose palms were being stroked with favors from Hillary? Was hush money or other corruption bribes and so on? Or is she truly so inept and so incapable as a manager that all of this went on under her nose without her knowledge. You know, perhaps she learned about this the same time we did when she picked up her copy of the Washington Post newspaper. And says, Shazam, how did this happen? And then under oath, you know, she'll scold those who press her for details about how this could happen under her watch with something like, what difference does it make anyway? A vote for Hitler is a vote for, how did the Inspector General put it? Here it is. It's a vote for expanding the present conditions in our government for fraud. Of course, you can't thank Clinton without the whole issue of casual sex coming up. Am I right? Those words go together sort of like is and there, and they squabble over definitions thereof. And blue dresses, and here you go. You know, as a pastor, I already knew this, that the Heathen's Rage propaganda network, a little Psalm 2 reference there, which involves the MSM, the education establishment, the entrenched Antichrist operatives who fund the corruption of our culture with their vain Antichrist philosophy, using their filthy lucre, and that's dirty money, by the way, along with the new cart churches that pander for their favor, that whole system of disinformation that is constantly preached by the world to our young people, especially telling them, you know, casual sex is fun, makes you happy, gives you freedom, it's liberating, and all this nonsense. As a pastor who's often called in to help pick up the pieces of the lives wrecked by these evils, I already knew that the Heathen's Rage propaganda was a pack of lies spawned in the heart of the father of lies, old Lucifer himself, you know, the god of Saul Alinsky and those who follow him, like Hilarity and Obummer, and the rest of that crowd doing everything in their power to break down that wall of protection afforded to us right now by our Christian morality and by the Constitution to which it gave birth, by the way. Anyway, here's an article I picked up from The American Thinker, written by Janice Shaw Krause. It's published April 3rd, 2014. Quote, truth number one about recreational sex. Recreational sex has produced dramatic increases in sexually transmitted diseases, STDs. Girls who are sexually active in their early teens are twice as likely to get an STD, and about 40% of these will become pregnant. According to Dr. Meg Meeker, a pediatrician and author, quote, almost half of all girls are likely to become infected with an STD during their very first sexual experience, end quote. Now, get that. Girls are far more susceptible to STDs than guys because of the biology of the cervix. And a report, The Cost of Free Love from Concerned Women for America, documents the fact that there are now some 49 different STDs plaguing our kids. There is no escaping the fact that we are in the midst of an STD epidemic, with more than 20 million new STD cases every year, the majority of them affecting 15 to 25-year-olds, and triple the number just 6 years ago. You know, looks like I'm going to need to update my stats on this. Last time I studied the health statistics on this business regarding teenagers was that there were 3 million new cases of STDs among teens every year. Look what's happening. Maybe this number includes all cases. No, you know, they said that most of the 20 million are affecting 15 to 25-year-olds. All right, continuing the article, quote, these inconvenient facts go unreported and supposedly responsible adults still encourage early sexual activity for our girls. And now truth number two, recreational sex leaves young people alone and lonely. I sure see that. Few things are more sad than a kid who discovers that playing around with sex had nothing or little to do with anything called love, and realizes too late that the divine design of sex by her creator was for bonding two to become one, and that this binding and then the tearing apart and the binding and tearing apart cycle these kids get involved in is destructive to them emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, and of course, with STDs biologically as well. And now continuing with our article, quote, conventional wisdom says that if you tell a lie often enough, people will begin to believe it. The mantra heard from middle school onward is that sex is great recreation, that it's free and fun. Sadly, many girls don't recognize the lie until it's too late. You know, start sexual activity in your early teens and you're likely to have more than a dozen partners. That's four times higher than those who begin sexual activity in their early 20s. A college co-ed, talking about her new boyfriend, explained that she would, quote, tell him about two guys I slept with, but not the others, end quote. And then she added, quote, once you get beyond five, it sounds kind of slutty, end quote. Yeah, you think? Why is that, by the way, do you suppose? Why five? Why not 20? Why not 3? Why not 100? I mean, you know, it's weird, isn't it, the sorts of games we play with our souls. The soul knows it's wrong. How much wrong can the soul tolerate, or will it tolerate, before it begins to slip into self-loathing? You know, the natural or unspoiled state of the conscience is such that shame and guilt and self-reproach are natural reactions to violating the conscience. And that conscience, which by its creator is designed, instructed to a degree by natural instincts, programmed into our human nature by the creator to know that these things are wrong. We know, for example, that, well, okay, say 5 sexual partners. Well, now that's too much. Well, what makes it too much? You see, it begins to sound kind of slutty then. Why? If the first one was okay, even though you know the creator said no, if the second one was okay, even though you know God says no, if the third one was okay, even though you know, right? So why 5? It's because you're programmed by the creator to naturally reject this dangerous to your soul behavior. Anyway, modern, or shall we say postmodern society, labors to remove these conscience barriers to this behavior, and they are succeeding so far to the point that now we got this kid at least who will say, well, 5 begins to sound slutty. So what will it be in 20 more years? How about 15 sounds slutty? Or maybe finally the protection barrier of the conscience will be fully compromised and our kids will have no restraints at all and the entire population will become ravaged by diseases and by alienation, by the way. When this develops in our culture, it will necessarily give rise to greater and increased violence. Listen, a society without sexual barriers that provides restraints necessarily becomes a society without barriers to violence. And this becomes exacerbated by the fact that more and more people are growing up alienated from the secure bonds of family and cut loose to be controlled by pleasure-driven behavior that demands immediate satisfaction without commitment. Okay, let's continue this very fine article. Quote, school and college counselors tell us that sexually active girls are 3 times more likely to be depressed than their abstinent peers. Sexually active teens are more likely than their abstinent counterparts to attempt suicide, by the way. But the most telling fact is that the majority of teenagers, 72% of the girls and 55% of the boys, acknowledge regret over early sexual activity and wish that they had waited longer to have sex. And now for truth number 3, recreational sex makes girls the losers. The bottom line is that only 1/3 of girls who had early sexual activity described themselves as happy, as compared with over half among those who waited. More than 1/4 of sexually active girls report depression, and they are 3 times more likely to commit suicide. As Dr. Miriam Grossman warns in her book, women are hardwired to attach through sexual behavior. Now, did you hear that? Are you listening? How stupid are we that we have to wait for some scientific study to come along and have some doctor tell us what we actually have known about human nature for millennia? So now Dr. Miriam Grossman warns in her book, titled Unprotected, that women are hardwired to attach through sexual behavior, and no condom will protect them from the psychological consequences of sexual permissiveness. Empty relationships, feelings of self-contempt and worthlessness, and even depression. The article goes on. In her Weekly Standard article, Charlotte Allen explained that the sexual revolution was supposed to do away with the double standard, you know, where women are looked down on for having casual sex while men are expected to do it, which, by the way, I agree is appalling. And in fact, I think men are more to blame since they are supposed to be the ones who are called on to assume the role of protector in society, not predator. But more on that another time. Where is honor anyway? Anyway, Allen goes on, quote, but there is a harsher, more cruel double standard now, a supply-saturated short-term sexual marketplace, and she's referring to our colleges and goes on for offering this example. Students at Yale University have a sad term for it now, SWUG Nation, with SWUG standing for Senior Washed Up Girls. The harsh realities of casual drunken sex should make the choice of abstinence very simple. If there were more honest discussion of the pain caused by promiscuity, the market value of virginity would dramatically increase. Young people need to choose carefully. Sex can never be free. Choices always have consequences. We cannot expect young people to act responsibly when neither adults nor the culture is providing the best possible information to encourage self-discipline and self-control, which are the surest keys to young people's long-term well-being. End quote. Now, I want to thank Janice Shaw Krause for this excellent article, Exposing the Myths of Recreational Sex. Now, as often happens, I got rolling here and went over my time allotment for the first segment. And now listen as I conclude, especially the few young people that I do have tune in for their weekly brain massage. Don't be fools. Don't let the Antichrist, God-hating, God-despising crowd trick you into becoming a food to feed their lustful, wicked appetites. They're just teaching you this junk so they can get at you. They're feeding on you. Hey, kids, they're feeding their filthy appetites on your souls by tricking you into giving up your bodies for their use without making a genuine connection with your soul. You feed your body to their lusts, and you take their bodies for your lusts, and in the end of the day, finally, you destroy the mechanism God designed to bind you to one partner for life, which is the only relationship that can really provide abiding and genuine satisfaction. I'll be right back.
Have you ever complained against the White House and the House of Congress for despising our laws, showing contempt for our Constitution, and turning their back on our founding values and beliefs? Does it seem the Lord has forsaken the people's houses? And by the way, how's your house doing? Perhaps there is another house you should think about, the house of God, the church, which according to Jesus is the pillar and ground of the truth. He told us not to forsake the house of God. Have you? How long has it been since your family gathered with God's people in His house? God can fix the White House and the House of Congress and your house too. But remember, He begins with His own house. Every great revival has begun with a return to the house of God. God will return to our houses when we return to His. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us in the house of God this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Australia claims they've picked up some pings from the black box of flight number 370, and they believe it signals hope that the wreckage of that plane will finally be found. This sort of thing is like a greenhouse for conspiracy theories. How incredible is it that the U.S. would not have zeroed in on these pings, or that they would be discovered now, so late in the worldwide search for this plane? No wonder China's suspicious of all this. We can only feel deep sorrow for the precious families suffering the loss of their loved ones being dragged through all this. God be with them and comfort them. Speaking of China, get a load of this. Officials in China's government are concerned about the rapid growth of Protestant Christianity in the country, especially in areas where it's concentrated in certain provinces. A little over 10% of, I believe it's pronounced Wenzhou region, and that would be 1 million of a population or out of a population of 9 million, are openly practicing Protestant Christians, and that number is growing rapidly. Quote, Feng Zili, as the chairman of Zhejiang's Ethnic and Religious Affairs Committee, said Christianity's growth had been, quote, too excessive and too haphazard, end quote. It's all about control over these people, you know. And it's interesting to me because Buddhism is given a kind of respectful pass, recognized as among the traditional religions of China, though somewhat despised, nevertheless, given the nod, likewise Confucianism. If growth spurts occur in these religions, China watches but does not become alarmed. However, when Christianity begins to surge, that becomes a problem for the Chinese government, and I wonder why. So now they've ordered the demolition of a dozen Christian church buildings, shades of Mao Zedong. In the Wenzhou region, Christians gather by the thousands to circle the newly constructed multi-million-dollar church building ordered demolished in order to protect it from the government edict. One older lady pleaded with government officials that they would take her head and not the cross. Members of the church are taking turns sleeping in the building by night and circling the building by day to protect it. Of course, I greatly admire their courage, and I trust they will prevail. And I've noticed, down through history and through my own lifetime, when Christianity actually takes a stand against the oppressors, when it really stands up and takes a sort of action, it always comes out the victor. I mean, check your history. Rome could not withstand the church, nor could Britain, at that time, the greatest military power on earth, withstand Christians declaring their liberty and standing in its defense. The constant sea of Baptist preachers declaring truth in communities where they were outlawed finally prevailed to give us the liberty we enjoy today. Chinese Christians are on the right track, sort of. And why do I say sort of? Well, I notice it's the government-approved Protestant churches that are taking a stand right now. And that's a good thing, by the way. But listen, the underground Christians who refuse to kowtow to the government to limit their expressions of free speech, to limit their worship to within the constraints of what the government will approve or allow. For example, the law that forbids them to assemble except on Sunday, stuff like that. That group is persecuted, imprisoned, property confiscated, otherwise terrorized by the government, and these same Christians who will lay down their heads for a cross or stand defiantly between government bulldozers and their building are nowhere to be found when it comes to the underground churches and those Christians. And again, I'm glad that they're doing this. Just get a hold of this observation. The Christians who are being pushed out of employment because of their beliefs, the believers who have to hide to worship, are not protected, but buildings and crosses are. Maybe it's because they believe the government's propaganda that these underground Christians are all cults that do vile things with children, so forth, the same kind of lies that were used by the Soviet government to hide their persecution of genuine Christians from the rest of the population for so many years. In my early visits to Russia, I remember one pastor telling me how painful it was for him to hear Billy Graham say that all he saw in Russia was religious freedom and that he did not see any persecution. Which was the most outrageous lie anyone ever used the truth to tell? Think about it. And of course, he didn't see any religious persecution. They didn't let him see any. Of course, all he saw was religious freedom. Yeah, the communists, like the liberal compromising churches here in America, they saw in Billy a way to legitimize themselves, you know, in the eyes of the world by getting Billy's endorsement. And they all got it. Anyway, here was a fellow Baptist preacher sitting in a jail cell in Russia in a 6x9-foot concrete room with a toilet hole in the center and in a small 2x2 concrete block in one corner where he could sit. No bedding and only a slit allowing just enough sliver of daylight or nightlight to come in so the prisoner could discern whether it was day or night. You know, where the sewage would back up in these cells and fill the cell with about 3 inches or more of water on the floor. So he had to huddle up in that small concrete block to stay out of the feces and urine-infected water until it finally receded. And endure this for 9 months, which was his sentence. And his crime? Well, illegal assembly. You see, he allowed children to attend his Sunday school classes. Yeah. So when he heard Billy was coming to Russia, he was ecstatic, like so many others of the underground Christians were at that time, thinking finally someone from America was coming and would speak for them. And when he heard compromising crawfishing Billy do what Billy does best, because after all, you've got to remember what side your bread is buttered on. You see, that's what he told dear Dr. John R. Rice when Rice confronted him about his compromise early in the late 50s. Look, you go ahead and get mad at me if you want to. I love you anyway. And when it comes to my show, the only commitment I've made unequivocally is to one person and to one thing. That person is truth, and that thing is truth, and they're one and the same. Oh, yeah. So here's the thing. I admire what the Christians, nominal or genuine born-again believers, either way, for the point I'm making right now, I admire these Christians for standing up for the protection of their building and for the public display of the cross. I'm with them. I cheer you on. It's just interesting to me and a bit disturbing that the underground Christians are left hanging. Swinging in the wind. They are persecuted, their lives ruined, and there's no gathering of thousands of Chinese Christians to stand up for them. I think if you will stand up for a building and a cross, you should certainly stand up for free speech and full freedom of religion for all of your fellow Christians. And I hope that one day you will, and I pray for China to be free. And if China will yield to the truth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that the Lord of glory has come to earth, spoiled all principalities and powers, whipped Satan, kicked him out, taken all power into his hands, well then the gospel of the true church will unlock the kingdom and allow China to rise or receive the dominion of it, if and when America finally loses it. Yeah, think about it. Is there a transfer of the kingdom coming? You know, it happens about every 200 to 400 years, with the average life of an atheist-centered power being about 70 years. The People's Republic was formally established in about 1949, so they're coming up on their 70-year marker pretty soon. If it transitions to a gospel nation, it can initiate a transfer of kingdom power from America to China. Or will it self-destruct and begin a dramatic decline, like a Soviet Union? It has extended its economic life by adopting a sort of hybrid controlled free market system. And we all hope this will lead to a collapse of the atheistic communist control of the people's lives. Or will the dragon suddenly wake and burn itself to ash in another Mao Zedong purge? Well, we live in interesting times. But this is not only interesting, it's totally surprising. Michelle Obama did what Billy Graham failed to do. Yeah, she spoke up in China, in Beijing no less, in defense of human rights generally and freedom of speech and freedom of worship specifically. Can you believe it? Quote, as my husband has said, we respect the uniqueness of other cultures and societies, end quote. Obama said this to a crowd of about 200 students, most of whom were from the United States, by the way. And she went on to say, quote, but when it comes to expressing yourself freely and worshiping as you choose and having open access to information, we believe those are universal rights that are the birthright of every person on this planet, end quote. Now that is impressive. Of course, to be clear again, while her audience was in Beijing, the crowd before her was made up of mostly Americans, and she made no such statement while in the general public or during any meetings, official meetings. So we don't know how much of this was window dressing and how much was real, but the fact remains she made these comments in Beijing, and you can be very sure that the Beijing government was well aware of her comments. Now, they control the media over there, so it's not likely her comments will be circulated broadly throughout the country. But hey, I'll take it. Thank you, Michelle, for speaking up for human rights and specifically for mentioning freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Now, do us all an additional favor and please explain this to your husband. who is suing Little Sisters, trying to force them to act against their religious beliefs over here, and providing contraceptives. And you might also consider what's going on in your own backyard regarding freedom of speech. Well, maybe you have, because I'm noticing some things. I noticed that the Air Force, under Obama's direct control, is reviewing its restrictions on religious speech. Okay, let's see where this goes. We've been hearing so many stories, one after another, of Christian soldiers being persecuted, punished, denied promotion, so forth, driven out for speaking about their faith. You know, while Muslims and every other strange religion, and by the way, any religion that punishes women the way Islam does is strange to me. But, you know, not Christians can't speak. All the rest can, but not Christians. This is nonsense. It must stop. So maybe Michelle has talked to hubby about this after all, eh? And then we've got the Christian college professor who was denied a long overdue and much deserved promotion. And finally, you know, way back in 2006, Dr. Mike Adams applied for full professorship at North Carolina Wilmington University as a criminology professor. But he was denied the promotion because of his Christian beliefs, his conservative and Christian beliefs. Yeah, the children of disobedience under the influence of the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2, irrationally blocked his promotion for all these years, specifically because they disagreed with his conservative and Christian viewpoint. Yeah, sort of like China, you know, political correctness is decidedly anti-Christ. Have you ever noticed that? The court ruled that not only was Adams to be reinstated to a full professorship, but that he would receive back pay in the amount of $50,000. But also, it ruled that the individuals representing the college who participated in this egregious effrontery to human rights and freedom of speech could be held personally accountable for their actions. Wow. This should serve notice to all the devils ensconced in our colleges across the nation that it's no longer open season on conservative and Christian professors, okay? Now, here's another. In the European Court of Human Rights, a registration law enacted in Hungary was struck down. This is significant, friends. Hungary decided to revoke the registration of a certain group of Christian ministries in Hungary and require them to re-register. And in that process, they denied registration to many evangelical and Pentecostal groups. The lawsuit argued this violated their rights, and the court agreed. This is amazing. These sorts of registration laws in Europe have been a key tool of religious oppression for many years, and now the Lord's people, asserting their liberties, standing up and claiming their divinely appointed rights, challenging them, are beginning to push back against the gates of hell. And as I've told you, every time that happens, freedom wins and tyranny begins to lose its footing. Even New York's beginning to back off the backs of Christians. Well, New York mayor has come out on the side of Christians who are using public school facilities for church meetings. And then get a load of this. Sweet little Megyn Kelly. I'm sorry, Megyn. I mean no disparagement. But get a load of this. She's got some mommy bear in her blood. She has aired an interview drawing attention to a movie produced by the Clarion Project about the atrocities perpetrated against Muslim women under Sharia law all over the Islamic world, including, for example, the truth that under Islamic Sharia law, a raped woman has to have 3 male witnesses to her rape, or she gets the death penalty for accusing a rapist. Can you figure that one out? And then there's this whole honor killings nonsense where a father kills his daughter for shaming the family, which could mean she merely converted to Christianity, for example. Well, anyway, Megyn has been attacked by CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, who's demanding an apology, and Megyn has answered back. She said, quote, well, guess what? You're not getting it, end quote. Way to go, Megyn. So I've got to wrap it up. Looks like Christ Jesus is preparing the world for a worldwide evangelism explosion, and we'd better start tooling up to get on board before all the cults and crazies do. That's what often happens. If China opens up to the gospel and Europe begins to wake up, and if persecution against Christians in America begins to back off, we could have a worldwide awakening, the likes of which we've never seen in history since the time of the apostles. Got to sign off? But let me reiterate something I've often said. There is no force in earth or in hell that can stand against the power of a holy church, empowered by Christ and willing to take up the cross and follow in his steps. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. And you say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying, lights off if you disagree. Give me a call right away, 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me on our listen response hotline, or go to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com, thebrainmassageshow.com, or santamarialighthouse.org, or baptistlighthouse.org. Any of those will get you to us. And you'll see on the right side of the brainmass or the radio page, you'll see there a place where you can fill in an email response to the show that'll be sent directly to my email inbox. Now, if you're in a hurry, give me a lights on or lights off and then hang up. Or say, click lights on, lights off, and then say send. If you're on the website, God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m.